are going to step out of the cold, snowy winter for just a little while this hour and look forward to growing our spring gardens inch by inch, row by row. And we will learn about gardening and philosophize about gardening with Wisconsin rural historian and prolific author Jerry Apps. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 6th. While Jerry Apps has a lot of garden wisdom, and we will talk with him about his book, Garden Wisdom, Lessons Learned from 60 Years of Gardening, which offers advice on getting the most out of our gardens, but we will also talk about gardening philosophy. And why do we garden? What is the allure of gardening? Tell us why you love to garden and what you are looking forward to growing this year. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Jerry Apps is a rural historian, storyteller, author of numerous books, including Garden Wisdom and Three Sisters Garden. He'll be signing books and speaking at Garden Expo at the Alliant Center in Madison this weekend. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Glad to be on with you.
Well, it's nice to have you. And I'm going to also be at the Garden Expo. I know Larry Mueller will also be at the Garden Expo. All sorts of gardening experts will be there to offer advice and a lot of exhibitors with things you might be interested in if you're a gardener. And I know a lot of gardeners will be there as well. It turns out it looks like you're going to talk about garden wisdom at the same time I'll be sitting at the Wisconsin Public Broadcasting booth, but I'll have to see if I can sneak away to watch at 2 o'clock or so on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, 2:15 it is actually on February 8th, Saturday.
All right. And what? And that, tell us, what is your book, Garden Wisdom?
Sort of a one-liner. Sometimes people suggest, that I'm some sort of a gardening expert. What I say is I'm really not, but I know how to do it. and I think there's a difference, I suspect, between being an expert and knowing how to do something, but I don't necessarily want to get into that. Garden Wisdom book is about my many, many years of gardening. My gosh, I started doing it on the home farm when I was a kid because I grew up during the Depression and during World War II. And during those years, gardening was not an avocation. Gardening was a necessity. We depended on our garden for all of our vegetables. And I'm not so sure I loved doing it at that time. Mm-hmm. I especially wasn't keen on holding the garden whole day after hot day, trying to keep the weeds out of the garden.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It is. And I'm not so sure I cared for it at that time. But as the years passed, it's a strange thing to say, but I've come to like that. And some people will, I'm sure, we'll think that I'm a little goofy for saying that, but there's something to be said for hanging on to the handle of a garden hoe on a beautiful May or June day when there's a bluebird sitting on the house that I've put up, and there might be a sandhill crane flying over. My garden is at my farm up in central Wisconsin. And there's a nice bright sun warming up my backside. I mean, that is just one of the most wonderful things that I can experience. And aside from what I've just said, it's just quiet. It's a place to think about the world and think about yourself. And so gardening goes way beyond the production of food. I've learned as the years have passed. And I think many other gardeners will say that as well.
Yeah, well, I agree. Back in when you first started the gardening, it seems as though my parents still called it a victory garden when I was growing up. Is that what you were doing, growing a victory garden?
Sure, that's what they were during World War II. That's what they called them. I'm not so sure. Out in the country, we didn't so much call them victory gardens. But our city relatives, many of them had gardens in their on vacant lots and in on their own lots, and those clearly were victory gardens. And when I first joined 4-H, which was right after World War II, we still called those little 4-H gardens victory gardens. So that was kind of interesting.
And that was primarily food that you were growing there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. If you can't eat it, don't grow it.
Do you grow flowers and pretty things these days?
Of course. But I'm mostly a vegetable gardener. But my dad always said that you've got to have something that's pretty in the garden as well. And so we often had sunflowers or something like that. And I still do that. But it's primarily, my garden is primarily a vegetable garden. And it's a fairly large garden that we have up in my farm up in central Wisconsin. We grow enough vegetables now for three families, my son and my daughter and their families, besides for Ruth and me.
Yeah.
So it's a very serviceable, practical garden that we grow, but we make no bones about appreciating the other aspects of gardening as well.
Oh yeah, and it really gardening was and is a family affair for you then.
Yeah, it always has been from way back. My family's of German heritage. And not that the Germans had a corner on gardening, because they didn't. Most of the ethnic groups that arrived here had vegetable gardens, but it indeed was. We all were out in the garden, and my dad he lived to 93, and one of the last pictures we have of my father was him working in his garden. And he died 6 weeks after we'd taken that picture. So he gardened his entire life, and he loved it. And he never would talk about it that way. My dad had a fifth grade education. He didn't use words like love and I'm enjoying this and all that. You knew what he was appreciating by watching him do it, and you knew that he clearly loved every minute of it. And when he and my mother, when they retired from the farm, my mother's goal was always to live in town, so they moved to Wild Rose, which is the nearest village. And my dad hated that. He just couldn't see living in a big city. And Wild Rose had a population of about 700 people. So he came out to my farm that we had, where he had his garden, because he just could not give up gardening, ever.
We are talking about gardening and why we appreciate gardening. What do we get out of gardening besides vegetables? Why do you garden? We're taking a little bit of a respite from our cold winter days by talking about gardening with Jerry Apps, who is the author of many books, including Garden Wisdom, Lessons Learned from 60 Years of Gardening. Also discussing this because Garden Expo is coming up this weekend in Madison. Wisconsin Public Television and Wisconsin Public Radio are involved in putting on Garden Expo. And you can see Jerry Apps there and many other people as well. So we have the schedule posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. But right now we would love to hear from you about what you are looking forward to planting and tending and doing in your garden. Are you doing anything right now to prepare? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are asking the question this hour, why do we garden? Why do we go through all that work? What do we get out of gardening besides vegetables and pretty flowers? Why do you garden? Do you love to garden? share with us your stories. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Jerry Apps. He is the author of many books, including Garden Wisdom, Lessons Learned from 60 Years of Gardening, and also Three Sisters Garden. He'll be signing books and talking about them at Garden Expo at the Alliance Center in Madison this weekend. What's a Three Sisters Garden all about, Jerry?
Well, the Three Sisters Gardening is a part of the Garden Wisdom book.
Oh, okay.
It's a section in that book. And Three Sisters Gardening is a very, very old Native American approach to gardening. And it has... Well, it goes back like 6,000 years, very long time ago, when we first human beings first began domesticating food, vegetables. And the Three Sisters Garden consists of corn, beans, and squash.
Right.
All growing together and all interacting with each other. And that's why they're called Three Sisters. The beans crawl up the corn stalk. The squash plant shades the ground underneath and supposedly keeps down the weeds and holds in the moisture. So it's a very interesting idea, and I'll be talking about that on Sunday at 10:15, and I will describe how to do it, how to put together a Three Sisters Garden. It's a wonderful idea. If you have children and you want to introduce them to gardening, as well as introducing them to Native American history, because it has, as I mentioned, just a long history, and it's a fascinating idea.
Let's take some calls. We have Dan in Sheboygan with us first. Hello, Dan.
Yeah, hello, good morning. Why do I garden? I like the fresh sweet soil in the spring of the year. And I sure love my fresh vegetables.
Wonderful. So what is it about that smell of the soil?
Well, that fresh smell of the soil is something that one never, ever forgets, especially if you were grew up as a farmer. But if you've always been gardening, you know what that is. And after a long, cold, snowy winter, which we're experiencing right now, to be out in the garden and to turn over that first shovel full of soil and to smell the earth, I think there's something in our DNA as human beings that connects us to the land, and it's that smell of a freshly turned soil that enhances that connection, reaffirms that connection.
Yeah, and sometimes I smell something else in the spring, though.
I have no idea what that might be.
Just that fertilizer, I guess. Is, but it's still, and there's nothing like something about that fresh, sweet soil that makes, oh boy, those carrots and those tomatoes and just tastes like nothing else.
Well, that's true, and one of the other, just to add to the reasons for gardening, I see it as a way, as one way of introducing, and my own kids now were adults, I introduced them to gardening, but now I'm having so much fun introducing my grandchildren to gardening, and they're primarily city kids. And I will never forget, I have three grandkids that live out in Colorado, up in the mountains, and they were visiting the farm one time, and I was digging carrots. And my little grandson, he could not believe that carrots came out of the ground. He said, where did those come from? And then he was surprised. He said, he used to go into the grocery store and you buy little packages of carrots and all the same sizes. He said, they're all different sizes, Grandpa. Why is that?
I said, aww.
Carrots do not grow all the same size. That's something that we do to them. So I it was just a wonderful learning opportunity for him to realize that the carrots come from places other than grocery stores, and that they come out of the soil and then they vary in size, and then I brushed the dirt off of one, and then he was a little reluctant to taste it, but he got a big smile on his face because a carrot freshly pulled from the soil has a taste that's just so different from the taste from a carrot that may be on the grocery shelf for a week or however long they're there.
You just brought me back to Tracy Street in Appleton with my dad showing me how to plant and tend to the garden. And then when I was much older and my husband and I had our first, it wasn't even our first purchased home, it was a rental home, and had a little plot for my very first, real garden. And he helped me plant tomatoes. And I just remember being so so thrilled to be able to do that with his help and his garden wisdom.
Which reminds me, when Ruth and I were first married in 1961, which was a day or two ago, we lived in Green Bay. I was an extension agent in for Brown County, and we had a rental house. And the first thing I did is I spaded up this big plot of ground and planted it to garden. My landlord said that would be okay. What the neighbors thought that was so unusual. This plot of ground had apparently never had a garden, at least in recent memory. And so the neighbors would come over, and everybody was curious, what's going to grow on this heavy, in that area's heavy clay soil. But it did pretty well. I was under their scrutiny, though. They were all kind of looking, not saying much. and I don't know what they were hoping, but we had fresh vegetables.
Good, good. Who's this farmer? Aaron in La Crosse is with us. Hi, Aaron.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I'm a younger guy. I'm 25. I started gardening about 4 years ago.
Way to go,
and
Aaron.
What's that?
I said, way to go.
I'm trying to get a lot of other friends to do it as well, but like mainly I just started doing it indoors so I can get a head start in my garden. Last year was a disaster. This year I'm hoping for better, but I also wanted to say that I love basil. I think it's the most amazing thing on the planet. I put it in my water. People think I'm crazy, but it's delicious. I think everybody should be growing gardens. I think it'd be better for the economy, do better for your family, everything. But that's about it all I want to say. Thank you.
Aaron, thank you.
Very important. There are disasters in gardening, and nothing. Which part of it is another reason for doing it? It's the fun of it, and the mystery of it, and the surprises that come along. Because I have, all of these years I've been gardening, and the title of my book is a misnomer. It should say 70 years of gardening.
Mm-hmm.
There are years where something always fails, and something always surprises me. And that I find that just so interesting. What's going to happen next year? How will the potatoes do? How will the tomatoes do? And the onions and the beans and all the rest of it. And it's never the same. It's never predictable. But on the other hand, it's never a failure either.
No. And basil, that's a good reason to garden.
Yes, sir.
Love it. Thank you very much, Aaron, for sharing that. And Aaron, 25 years old, he left us before he could say that there was a serenity to the gardening. But he also seems to be really socially conscious, saying that it'd just be better for the earth and better for the environment all of us did this.
One of the reasons that I garden is, and this sounds a little selfish maybe, but maybe not, I want to know where my food comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what goes into the production of it. And I know that precisely from the moment I plant a seed until it's harvested in the fall. And I'm sure that's a lot of work. But knowing where your food comes from, where your vegetables come from, and knowing that you had something to do with the creation of that food, that's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. Do you have any notable failures that you remember and what you won't do again or something?
I plant 5, 6, sometimes 7 different varieties of tomatoes because I never know. Some blight, some disease wants to come in and wipe out, but it doesn't wipe out whatever comes in to cause me trouble does not wipe out all the varieties. That's why I plant several. So I have some years a certain variety that I knew was going to be wonderful, it isn't. It fails. And the same thing with sweet corn. I have many different kinds of sweet corn. And some of it really works well in certain years, other years not. Weather, we've got to really mention weather. Weather has so much to do with gardening.
Right, and if you have a bad year, you're going to have a bad garden.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I know that we have just a minute or so before a news break, but then we'll be back talking more about why we garden. I got frustrated. I don't have a big plot in my a good sunny plot in my yard right now. So I was doing some container gardening on my deck, which does receive some sun. And every crop of tomatoes that I would try in the pots either had the, you know, whatever that bottom rot that happens, or the chipmunks would get them every single year. Do you have to fight with the critters?
Oh, well, why don't we come back after the break? I will tell you some critter stories.
Good.
I had a constant battle with critters.
Yeah, we will talk about critters and other joys of gardening with Jerry Apps, who is sharing with us his garden wisdom. We're talking about his book, Garden Wisdom, Lessons Learned from 60 Years of Gardening. And we're welcoming your questions for him. We're welcoming your own stories and your own experiences. Why do you garden? Why do you love to garden or appreciate gardening? What do you get out of it? And what are you looking forward to? I'll tell you, I am looking forward to the first buds on the service berry or the June berry that I planted just a couple of years ago. What are you looking forward to? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You look like a star. Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. So, do you garden? What do you enjoy about it? What do you love the most? Is it therapeutic? Are you looking forward to spring and starting all over again? Are you doing something right now to prepare for gardening? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Thursday, February the 6th. It is coming up on 6:37. We are talking about why we love gardening with Jerry Apps, a storyteller, author of many books, including Garden Wisdom, Lessons Learned from 60 Years of Gardening. And we're welcoming your fondness of gardening, your questions about gardening at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Jerry will also be signing books and talking about garden wisdom at the Garden Expo at the Alliance Center in Madison this weekend. There is a schedule posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And Jerry, just before news time, I was talking about my challenges gardening on my deck and trying to keep the chipmunks from eating my tomatoes. Any advice for me?
Sure. I have what's called a raised garden here in Madison, which is let's see, it's about 8 feet long, and it's about 3.5 feet wide, and it's about, I don't know, 2 feet high. And I grow some tomatoes and some lettuce and some strawberries. And I have trouble with just the same chipmunks come flying by, and the squirrels want to go after my stuff. And what I do is I have some, it's plastic netting. And I just put that right over the top of the whole garden, and it does not interfere. The netting is very light, and it doesn't interfere with the moisture, rain, or in watering, and the sunshine can get through, and it keeps the critters out. And sometimes we have to do that, especially in settings where there are a lot of critters. And that seems to work for me just fine.
I will definitely have to try that.
If you scatter some mothballs around in your garden, which I'm not particularly fond of because the smell of mothballs is not so appealing to me either, but it does deter critters.
Here's an email from Juliana in Siren. Gardening keeps me in touch with all aspects of nature. I particularly love waiting for the perennials to start popping up. It's like having friends returning after a long winter.
That's very nicely said. That's great.
Yeah.
I, as a vegetable gardener, one of the first things that that I especially enjoy is when the rhubarb first starts poking through, and that often happens in March, and then the asparagus, and then we work our way through. But the perennials are wonderful, both flowers and vegetables and fruits.
Oh, wonderful! And in your book, Garden Wisdom, you also share some yummy recipes, don't you?
Yes, my wife Ruth is a home economist. At one time, worked for Extension as a home economist as well, and we collaborated, and she put in a bunch of recipes that relate to the vegetables that we have been enjoying over these years. And my son Steve, who works for the Wisconsin State Journal, he is a photographer. He did all the photographs in the book. So I say to people, if you're not interested in words, just look at the pictures. They're kind of pretty, too.
Well, I love rhubarb and asparagus and strawberries. Oh, yeah. And, oh, does this ever sound good? And I mentioned before break that I am looking forward to, I don't get a big crop of June berries, but I get some on my little surface berry tree that it is little. When I first got it, I called it my Charlie Brown tree because it was just kind of tiny and scraggly. And it's little pretty white flowers first thing in the spring. And the June berry, I can beat the birds to those little June berries, so I'm lucky that way.
Sure. I have another comment on critters to take it to a whole nother place. At my farm, we have, well, if it were just chipmunks, we wouldn't have a problem at all. If it were just rabbits, it wouldn't be a problem at all. Our big problem happens to be deer and turkeys and groundhogs. Those three critters just raise havoc with our garden and have over the years. And I have tried everything under the sun to keep, especially keep the deer and the turkeys out. And I suppose some will find this mean and cruel. It's really not. I have a very low voltage electric fence, two wires all around my garden. That's the only way I can keep the deer and the turkeys and the groundhogs out. I overplant a little bit to allow the rabbits to have something along the way.
You share a little.
My mother always did that, too. She always overplanted because she figured the rabbits needed something to eat, too.
Yeah, and deer-resistant things really aren't deer-resistant, I take it?
Yeah, the deer. Interestingly enough, when I first tried to do something about my deer problem, I got all kinds of advice. You need a fence 10 feet high, somebody said. That's the only way you keep the deer out. Well, then somebody else said, what you need to do is you need to hang little bags of mothballs all around your garden. And somebody else said, you need to hang little bags. Go to a barber, get some human hair, hang little bags of human hair all around the garden. That is a bunch of nonsense. The deer, when they smell the human hair, they say, oh, my gosh, there must be human beings around here. There must be something good to eat that somebody has planted. It does the opposite. It's supposed to do.
I tried that once, too, and it was like, what am I doing? It didn't work.
It's the goofiest thing in the world.
You know, my sister actually witnessed a squirrel coming into her. She has pots or like these little garden containers that you can hang on a deck railing where she would grow herbs and small crops of lettuce and things like that. And a squirrel went right in there and started just pulling out by the handfuls this lettuce, and then throwing it over the deck. She couldn't believe it, that the squirrel didn't want to eat the lettuce. It wanted to get that lettuce out of the way. And is there, would that netting help a situation like that too?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It there's something about the netting, just they don't get tangled up in it, and it just, they just avoid it. And by the way, a wonderful way of gardening, you mentioned it a couple times, is what just a big flower pot on the patio. The important thing to keep in mind is that it needs sunshine. You can't be in the shade.
Right, and that's why I have it on my deck, because that's the only place I get some sun. I've got so many tall trees that it's
about 6 hours or so of
sunshine.
That's a mistake that a lot of people make. I've got to share a very quick story. One of our a friend had moved out from had moved from Milwaukee out to some country property, and had didn't know anything about gardening. Wanted to grow some strawberries. Had noticed we always had a big strawberry bed on the home farm. In fact, we had enough so that people would come and pick. And of course, out in the hot sun, and these people had helped do some of this. And they thought, "Oh my gosh, this is terrible! Why would anybody want to be out there in the hot sun?" So they said, "Well, we're planting our strawberries in the shade of this big tree, so we can sit down, and the strawberry plants are all around the tree." And my dad didn't have the heart to tell them that they would never have a strawberry.
You need more sun for that. Let's take some more calls. Calvin in Marquesan is with us. Hi, Calvin.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you do with gardening?
Well, I teach agriculture at Partyville High School, but we have a solar greenhouse there that heats with stored solar energy in a rock bed.
Ooh.
And so we have had a great time this winter in spite of it being so horrible cold that we can go out there and we have stuff blooming and it is such a refreshing thing to just be out there and when it's a bitter cold out.
Oh, I need one of those.
Yeah, that's wonderful because you just the smell of the inside of a greenhouse in winter is enough to rejuvenate you.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Thank you very much. So what do you got growing in that greenhouse?
Well, we do have some tomatoes started, but they don't do very well. And I have some raspberry plants that are biennial or everbearing. And so periodically we'll get a few raspberries and a lot of flowers, though. And we currently right now we have some heart topiaries made out of ivy plants that the kids will use for Valentine's Day. So we have a lot of stuff going on out there.
Did you use a lot of artificial light to move things along?
No. I have been surprised at that I haven't needed any.
Yeah, because we've had a lot of cloudy days, of course.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Calvin, thank you very much for sharing that. Do you do anything, Jerry, during the winter in preparation?
Sure. My mother always, well, the first thing we do in preparation is to study the seed catalogs. Oh, what a wonderful experience that is.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you see in the seed catalog is a hope. It's often not reality. But we all have to be hopeful. So we look at these beautiful pictures in the seed catalogs and order the seeds and hope that that's what's going to grow in our garden. So I select the seeds in the wintertime. And my mother always, on St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March, she would start her tomato plants because St. Patrick's Day is a green day, she said, and that is the time to start your tomatoes. I start my seeds a little bit later than that because they tend to get a little stringy and they need a lot of light, and I don't have that much light. I don't use any artificial light. So I start my tomato plants usually around the end of March, 1st of April. I start to cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, all that kind of stuff as well, so that when it's time to set things out in the spring, I have a lot of plants ready to go.
Yeah. I've heard it said that gardeners are eternal optimists.
That's what I mean by being hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
it's like farming. The farmers... one-liner always is, next year will be better. And that's the same with gardening. Next year will be better. Sometimes it is. Often it's not. We hope it will be the same. But are we surprised? Some years, this past year, I had the best potato crop I've ever had. And that was a surprise.
We are talking about the love of, the joy of gardening. Why do we garden? And what are we looking forward to? What are you hoping for this year? 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page, The Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. There you will also find a link to Garden Expo, which is this weekend in Madison. It's at the Alliance Center in Madison. Jerry Apps, our guest, author of Garden Wisdom, Lessons Learned from 60 Years of Gardening, will be there. He's got a couple of talks, one 2:15 on Saturday, the other at 10 in the morning on Sunday. I'm also going to be there. I'll be there at the public broadcasting booth from 2 until 4 on Saturday afternoon. If you're there, please do stop by and say hello. I know Larry Mueller is going to be there and some other folks. So check it out. It'll be fun, a fun time at Garden Expo this weekend. And join us now, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
Red flower, you look so nice. Green flower.
We are talking about flowers and vegetables and other green growing things on this cold winter day. Are you yearning for the day when you're ready to garden, when the first spring flowers pop up through the snow? Are you pouring through seed catalogs right now, plotting what you want to plant? Let us know, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are Thinking Spring and Growing Gardens with rural historian and author Jerry Apps, author of many books, including Garden Wisdom. And let's go back to the phones. We have Scott in Columbus with us now. Hi, Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm enjoying the show a lot. And one of the reasons is that, you know, I'm hearing different comments from people and realizing there's always more to learn. That's one of the great things about gardening. And in the aggregate, there is really no downside to gardening. You listen to all the calls this morning. People are all talking about positive things other than the critters. And, you know, they have to eat too, so I don't begrudge them that. But gardening gets people outside, you know, which is one of the things I enjoy so much about it. It gets them in touch with all the natural processes, watching the plants first sprout and develop and seeing that first blossom on a tomato plant and with the promise of tomatoes to come. It's just a wonderful experience. It saves you during the entire gardening season and even into the winter, you know, when you're enjoying the canned and stored vegetables. Saves you gas money and time making trips to the grocery store. And then the harvest, you know, the fruits of the labor. You go to the garden, you pick this food at its absolute peak of freshness and flavor. You take it right into the kitchen. It never sees the inside of a refrigerator. And then you produce this wonderful food that you can share with family and friends. And I'm still enjoying parsley, celery, carrots, cabbage, and kale in the second refrigerator I put in the basement a few years ago, because this food keeps far longer than anything you'll ever get in a store. So like I say, there really are no downsides. You know, this is such a positive thing.
I'm so jealous. There is no downside, Jerry.
Yeah, I would say it's very well said. The we're still eating potatoes that we harvested last fall, and the notion of the taste of fresh vegetables that should be underlined about three times, because it really is that taste is so special, and unless you've experienced it, you really don't know that garden fresh vegetables that you plant, grow, and harvest yourself has that specialness that nothing compares to it.
Let's take another call from Rana in Rice Lake. Hi, Rana.
Hi, good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guests. I'm really enjoying the program this morning. I'm driving along to work lamenting about being a young girl growing up on the farm. I think I was born with either a hoe or a hay fork in my hand because I was either weeding the garden with my grandma or cleaning the barn with my grandfather. But just thinking back to those days of working with my grandma in the garden bring back such wonderful memories, and I've tried to instill that in my own children on the importance of, you know, being somewhat self-sustaining as much as you can with fresh produce. And a couple years ago, my oldest daughter helped me plant my raspberries for Mother's Day because she asked what I wanted, and that's what I told her. And my youngest helped me with my apple trees not too many years later, so trying to bring in the new generations to having that same experience and bringing it full circle in our family has been important to me.
Oh, how wonderful. Thank you, Rana. That just made my day that you wanted raspberry plants for Mother's Day.
That
that is wonderful.
that is really so great. And again, you mentioned, we talked earlier about how it's such a family affair. We had other comments from Nick on Facebook who says, my young family loves gardening. It's another reason to work outside together. My four-year-old really gets into it.
So. I think it's just one of the, today especially, when kids have so many electronic devices that capture their attention, to be able to get outside and to not to do something that doesn't require a battery. A hoe does not require a battery, which is sort of obvious, but it just takes us to a different place, and it's, I think it's wonderful to be able to introduce, in my case, my grandkids to that experience.
Let's go to Ellen in Waupun next. Hello, Ellen.
Hi. I'm really enjoying the program as well. It's a delight to be a gardener, and I was telling your person I first answered the phone that our daughter moved back from Portland, Oregon last year, and I was able to grow kale, which is her favorite vegetable, and it was just a wonderful crop, and I grew to like kale as well. And this year, I hope to try Brussels sprouts.
See, that's wonderful, because that's one something every year I try something new, and someone earlier mentioned that in gardening we are always learning, and that's absolutely true, and so trying something new requires us to learn something new, and I find that just a very challenging, also exciting, and something that's important.
I'm going to take one last call. I think we have time. If April in Madison is brief, I love the name April as we're talking about gardening.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm looking forward so much to the expo. My husband and I are both volunteering for the Wisconsin Hardy Plant Society. But there is a downside to Wisconsin gardening, or any Midwest gardening, and that's the abundance of beautiful perennials that you can plant. We're old now, and we're thinking we should move to a warmer climate. We just got back from Tucson, and it was beautiful, and I thought, well, we were sure we were going to move. But when we got back, the gardening catalogs had arrived, and it just totally destroys any desire to leave the Midwest.
That is so wonderful. April, thank you so much. We have just a minute or so to go. Jerry, maybe leave us with some, I don't know, words of gardening wisdom.
Sure. Well, first I want to mention that anybody who wants to learn more about my book and some of my other books, go to jerryapps.com. That's my website. All one word, JerryApps.com. And you'll learn more than you want to know. But my final word would be to just, and if you're concerned about doing it, it just get out and do it. It's one of those things that you learn by doing. And that goes back to my early days in 4-H. That's one of its models. Learn by doing. You can read all the books in the world about gardening, but you really do not appreciate nor learn how to do it until you get your hands dirty, you grab a handle of a hoe, and you get out there and do it.
Jerry Apps, thank you so much for being with us. See you at the Garden Expo this weekend. Thanks to Christy Taylor and Robin Cherry for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.